And this is where the intro music be playing, as you understand. Michael was dancing, was the best part of that. Right there. All right, here we go.
Caucasian shuffle.
Comic Censors to Comic Sense Radio, Episode 3, title to be announced. Can't really do that in the episode, can you? You can't go back and...
You can.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Just call the episode to be announced.
Title to be announced.
I like it. That's what it is.
We just try to find the title as we go along.
This is a special supersized edition of Comic Sense Radio. Why, do you ask, is it supersized? Because we have more DMs in the room today. First, we have Aaron. What was your name last time?
I don't remember.
Wow, we should have really...
Froze up under pressure.
Yeah, wow. Really.
Shut down.
Don't remember.
Aaron.
Mine was the most
Hudkins,
memorable. So.
Runs Thursday Night Campaign.
Yep.
We have Shane Sexy Sauce Simonez. He also runs a...
It was all the Taco Bell packets I brought in.
Nice. He runs our Friday Night Campaign and our one-shots most of the time. You've actually did
a lot of them.
Yeah. Aaron has two.
Three last year, and we're doing four this year.
Yeah.
That's let's talk about that too.
Yes.
We have DM Whisperer.
Yeah.
Michael Ewing. First of all, let me also introduce an extra, an auxiliary, if you will, Brandon, our sound guy, our super saucy microphone fella.
He bought all the mics, and he's waving, but we didn't give him one.
Right. He has all this equipment in here. We should sound a lot better. I should not be blowing people away. And
people should be able to hear me now.
People should actually hear Michael.
They're going to want to know who that guy who we were talking to, they thought he didn't exist.
Who's the
they're
extra
so
guy?
Crazy.
Imagine
the guy with the what's his name, subtitle, or the...
Oh, he's freezing.
He's
freezing.
Garrett Russ, or... Garrett Ross, Ross Garrett, whatever the heck his name was.
I'm not
SNL.
Yeah, we don't either.
And then the nicer, sweeter of the DMs.
He thinks.
I think. Stephanie Simonez. No relation to Shane.
None at all.
That's a very common last name.
Just met him today, as a matter of fact. She will be starting a campaign here at the shop. When? June
29th.
Yes, June 29th.
On a Saturday.
Yes, so we're very excited for that. Her and Brandon are our newbies to the shop, and I'm very excited to see. I've already seen Brandon's takeoff, but I'm very excited to see Stephanie's. So, yes, and I am Jay. Everybody knows me. Come on. So, we are here to just cover some things, talk about some D&D and some other things. So we'll go ahead and move on to the next segment. First thing I want to cover is Free Comic Book Day is coming up. It's May the 4th. We will have every single Free Comic Book Day comic this year. So we got over 50-some titles. I forget how many. 52, 53, whatever it is. Titles of comics. We're going to have a ton here. We're going to let people take more than a couple this year because, well, we have that many of them. So why not? So that's very exciting. We have an all-day D&D campaign going on.
Episode 2.
We're going to have a Pokemon tournament going on, a booster box tournament. So there's a bunch to get into on Free Comic Book Day, May the 4th, starting at 11 a.m. So make sure you stop in and see us at Comic Sense. Oh, I didn't say where we were at the beginning.
They need to line up at the door like a rock concert the night before.
That would be awesome.
That
would be amazing.
I'm not seeing a tent outside. I'm not coming.
I'm going to take my dice and go home.
Now I got to bring a tent in. Great.
So I'm going to leave Shane DM-less. One DM.
I'll leave myself
DM-less.
Oh,
no, one of us will take
that. I'll leave. Comic Sense is located at 2007 Washington Boulevard in Belbury, Ohio. Delightful little town with the best comic shop around. Hey, I just made that up. That's a new slogan. Anyway, let's see. What else are we going to talk about? Let's go ahead and segue into D&D. The first thing I think we should cover is we have... a lot of one-shots going on this year. The first one was...
Chaos in the Feywild.
Yes.
Everybody was level 3. We ran it from, 11 to about 6-ish.
Yeah.
I died twice.
Aaron did die twice, almost. And 4 points away from the hat trick.
Yep, almost lost three characters that night.
You dropped three times. I just didn't kill you outright the third time.
I dropped at least three times.
And I guess I didn't kill you any of the times. The first time you just fell off of a gigantic cliff. I
literally fell off a cliff.
There was a pond to jump into, and I typically do action movie rules for that. You can fall as far as you want as long as you land in water without having an injury. And a few people did that. Aaron's like, nope, I'm going to climb down this really slick, rocky outcrop.
Climbing,
literally just spikes jabbing into. I failed.
We talked about it the day before, and we were thinking, surely they won't try to climb down. And Aaron tries to climb down and fails. And it was, I think when you rolled it, you were like, I think, honestly, one off from the DC, but you just failed.
And we were talking about the Artificer before we started, and one guy had the brand new Artificer. He had a balloon pack. And it can hold a couple hundred pounds, so he was floating people down, and he can command it to do certain things, and it flew back up, and he was taking passengers. Aaron's like, nope, I'm going Sylvester Stallone on this. Cliffhanger.
I carried a kobold on my back.
Yes, the Goliath Barbarian. Literally carrying the entire team on her back, because who needs encumbrance?
Right, yeah. So that was the first one.
Yes.
And it went off very well. We had 18, 20?
17. 17. I think, 17, maybe 18 with people not coming back after lunch. And so I think a total of 20 people, which is typical for a one shot.
Yeah, it is such a good time. But we're running a series of four of those. The next one is on Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, it's Escape from Shadowfell.
Yes.
And it's everybody's bringing back their characters from the first one. They'll go from level 3 to level 6. They keep any loot that they would have earned. If you have to roll a new character, Aaron, you can do so at level 6. You just start with the base stats, or the base, what am I trying to say? Items.
Equipment.
That's the one I was looking for. Equipment.
Well done, Aaron.
Yes. Standard array, stat array.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole idea of carrying stuff from event to event is delightful. I think that's
because before you would make a character and it's like, well, I'm only gonna have this character for today, so they get really invested in their character. And now people are like, oh, they don't want to die. They actually want to build a character that they like and write backstories and stuff.
Well, some people don't want
to. And I
really put a lot of time into the first character too, and then he died. And the second one, I'm just like, okay, generic character number two. There we go.
And I think the max level is gonna end up being right around 9 or 10. And then you and I were spitballing about the finale coming up. December 7th will be episode 4. And we have...
We could do a New Year's one.
We could. I may do a... Yeah, we could do that. Could definitely do a New Year's thing. That could be awesome.
Just happened.
That would be awesome.
But the plan I had for the finale on this one, you and I have been talking about for a couple of months. It's something that... I don't even know if I've seen it done online. Like...
I've never seen it
as far as the game stuff. Nobody's done this, we definitely haven't done this at the shop. So get
Stay
ready.
Tuned.
Yeah, and there's as long as we have a seat available for the one shot, there's no limit.
Yeah,
if we can find room for 40 people, we'll run it with 40 people.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. 40.
That would be it's almost like thinking of it like having D&D in a church, like just people lying in pew to pew, be like, all right, David, what are you doing?
If we have to have people sitting in chairs with dice boxes in their laps, rolling dice, or on the floor, or whatever it is, standing room only, we'll do it.
Yeah, that's one of the exciting things about this group. Now, I know we've limited some of our campaigns this time, mm-hmm. just because we have 5 campaigns going. Here's a little inside baseball. We have 5 campaigns going on starting in June. So we have, what would we guess, around 50-ish people?
Yeah, including the people from the one-shots, we have over 50 people playing D&D.
So, and that's awesome. That's amazing.
We had to find a way to spread those folks out mm-hmm. amongst groups because we were having, Michael was having 20
at a time for a regular campaign.
Thursday regular,
massive.
Aaron's at 12 to 15, 18.
My normal used to be between 12 to 15 or more on a week, on a bi-weekly basis, and it's just... I have a limited group this time, so that's going to be different.
3/4 of those were people that were playing in both groups, and that was awesome, but it's also extremely hard to plan for.
Yes.
Right.
So, we have limited our numbers for the upcoming campaigns, but usually that's not a thing. This is the first time we've put a limit on, stuff.
Yeah. We've, doubled the amount of DMs running. So,
yeah.
I mean, that really helps a lot.
Well, that also has to do with, just me and Stephanie being new DMs, sometimes to have that actual low cap. And so, because looking at what, like, say, what me and Shane do, or what Shane's done in the past, with just the one-shots, or looking at Michael's game, or Aaron's game, that can be very unsettling to somebody that's trying to start out being a DM.
Like, yes. It can be a little overwhelming, I would think.
And right. when we throw up the DM screens, we have the initiative trackers, and David and I think we ended up with a third DM screen.
Yeah.
And there's just initiative trackers, which are just for the players,
just
lining
the
top of this thing. And then we're just writing down where the enemies are going to be at in the initiative. So
that's hilarious.
It was amazing, though.
And it's not like we wouldn't want to do like Battle Master that stuff or anything. It's just that that's a lot of people to have on one Battle Master.
Mm-hmm. And for the big fights, you know, we can draw stuff out. Last year, Aaron and I did like an Odyssey-style one. Mm-hmm. And for the final battle, it was an arena battle with all the Greek gods watching and rooting you on and giving you boons and stuff. And we did draw that one out with the Cypriex in the middle of everything before he was even released. I was proud of that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, we got an advanced copy of the Cypriex stat block.
In my campaign, they're gonna deal with something like that around level, I think, 11 or 12.
Awesome.
Where it's Hunger Game esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I like the idea of like gods as well, just giving you like little things to help you along your path, and like. Being very evident in that story.
Shoot him with a fireball.
But bam.
Go ahead and do that.
Enhance your abilities for this one attack.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's something to keep an eye out for. I mean, we run a lot of the campaigns through the week and stuff, so you can follow that on our Facebook page for events. And we do allow spectators to come in and watch. We've had people come in and just watch the game be played and, you know... enjoy that. So even if a game is full, we always welcome people.
And they silently judge you.
Yes.
And I'm very open to that judgment. I will throw it back right at those people.
The other people in your party will openly mock you, but the other people, the spectators, they're just silently judging you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for the one shots. Like I said, the next one is May the 4th on Free Comic Book Day here at Comic Sense. And then we post the other ones well in advance.
End of September on the anniversary, or right, close to the anniversary, the closest Saturday anniversary, and Pearl Harbor Day for the episode 4.
Very good. So, and then potentially a...
Potentially a fifth one. We'll do something. Even if it's not related to this, we'll figure out something. Let's plan it now. We'll do a fifth one.
I like it.
Ooh.
We just made decisions on the spot.
That's DM.
You heard it here first on Comic Sense Radio. We're going to have a New Year's Eve campaign.
There will be.
It was limited to 4, but they managed to talk us into it.
I love it.
Come the nine hells or high water.
So here I have a little grab bag of things I don't know a lot about, but I thought were interesting, and I wanted to throw them out there. I briefly discussed with Brandon this app that I just learned about, and I'm super sad that I just now found out about it. Dragon Plus app it's an official Wizards of the Coast app that has the magazine on it.
I didn't think about it.
It's like old school Dragon magazines almost.
Yeah, like, about the magazine, but not
now
the
these.
It's current stuff too.
Yeah, it's current stuff.
That's what I was getting at. Is it old stuff or was it
it's
brand new stuff?
It's got a bunch of stuff
and
on
he's
it.
Loading it.
Yeah.
The most recent one is actually about Ghosts of Saltmarsh on the cover. The one before that was like a holiday gift guide. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there, and it looks really interesting.
Are those all the back issues?
Yeah,
you just scroll through them.
You can download them directly to your device.
What's that cost?
It's free.
It's free.
Really?
The best thing is that usually whenever it lines up to when they're releasing actual printed content, they'll put tidbits about the printed content in here.
Spoilers.
And they'll be like, hey, I know that a lot of our DMs in the playtesting had issues with this particular section of this particular module. Why don't you guys try this to help you out with it?
Right on.
And
so, yeah.
That's really
so
cool.
Nice.
It's
that is nice.
Really cool. So it's something I don't know a lot about, but I'm throwing it out there. So for all of us and for people listening, that you definitely need to check out the app because it looks very interesting. Another app, and we've discussed it amongst ourselves, the medieval fantasy RPG app.
Yes.
We've talked about it a few times. It's basically D&D on your phone. It's all text-based. There are some photos and stuff. That kind of, help you envision what you're reading. Very entertaining. Gives you choices at the end. You know, you read through a little paragraph of what's going on. You make decisions, and your decisions affect, you know, the game as you play on. It's very lengthy. There's tons of material, tons of books. I highly recommend it. It's a blast. I'll throw this out there. It does get a little risque in one of them, and it warns you about that. And it's nothing over the top, but it's just just so everybody knows, there is a particular module that gets a little edgy.
A little PG-13.
Yeah. So, but overall, very good. It's not like, you know, super, you know, blood and gore and violent and all this stuff, but it's very entertaining.
It reminds me of the old choose your own adventure, but you can't cheat and leave your finger on the page you were just in case you die.
Right. I love those books.
Yeah, it's like on the old, like on the old computers, just like, so you I have like in a five bookmarks. I walk forward.
Go west.
Yeah.
Zork.
That's what it was.
You can die.
Encyclopedia Brown.
So that makes it even a little more entertaining, and you can't just go, well, I'll pick this and hope for the best. You can actually die in it, and there's some choices that there's only one right answer. Mm-hmm. You know, in D&D, you know, oh, I want to, you know, climb down this cliff, you know, and there's no happy way that's going
to
end.
And for everybody that can't see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, that was the wrong answer to do that.
It was such the wrong answer.
Yeah,
so
I realized
you
could have
just jumped, and it would have been so much easier.
Never jumping off a cliff is the right
his character
answer.
Everybody
was
else was. Why didn't you just fall off?
I mean, screw what
your mom said.
So, highly recommend medieval fantasy RPG app. It's a free download. You can pay for it. There's really you get the same content either way. It's paying, I think, just supports the place that does it. Moving on to D&D books in this grab bag, Ghosts of Saltmarsh. That's
pirates. Super excited.
Pirates.
I'm gonna
borrow
heavily
pirates.
So much from that in my own campaign.
If I would be surprised if Aaron doesn't stop this campaign midway to start.
I want to play it. I don't want to run it. I want
to
play it.
The rest of ours are going to level 20,
it.
So there's no reason you couldn't run.
There you go. Stephanie,
Curse of Strahd, or yes. Brandon could write it for the DM group,
which
that's something else we need to throw
fantastic.
Out there. Brandon may be DMing for the DMs.
Which would
a
be nice.
A DM of DMs.
How fun would that be?
Yeah.
This could be a behind the scenes. This could be what we videotape.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And
let's put that on YouTube.
Show the chaos.
What's do you remember the date for Ghosts of Saltmarsh? May?
The Ghosts of Saltmarsh, May 21st is a release date.
And that's a week before. And if you buy it in the shop, I think you can get it a week before.
Usually that is
online.
The case. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh no! Nah. I just saw this thing. I'm interested in what they're gonna do with like the classic Kraken situation because I've been seeing like a bunch of things of people like editing like classic D&D monsters like the Hydra. This dude made a Pyro Hydra and stuff.
Brandon is slipping me money already for
Ghosts of Saltmarsh.
The other book that we all talked about, we thought was a joke initially. Acquisitions Incorporated. It's a June release, June 18th. But even the cover makes you think, what?
And then they announced it on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that didn't help.
They actually announced it before April Fool's in the Dragon Plus magazine.
I Facebooked it.
This
for me it was Twitter.
Smart guy over here.
Yeah. So he reads things. I see. Okay. That's fancy.
Look at you.
Gotta
drink some tea and stuff. His pinky out.
Okay, let's be honest with that. I've been thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, like, what would my actual D&D stats be? And trying to be as brutally honest as I could with myself the other day. And I was thinking, I was like, well, I mean, I think if you could, like, lift your own body weight, you should at least have a modifier plus zero for strength.
My charisma would be 5, but my intelligence would also be 5, and I wouldn't know it.
I mean, there you go. Since, like, I'm
would be
trying to do that.
Low, but my intelligence would be high. Charisma would be like, yeah.
Strength's my dumb stat, just saying.
Charisma would be.
No, Constitution. Asthma kind of gives you a negative modifier on Constitution.
I feel in my heart like a barbarian.
As a dump stat.
What? Say it again?
Speaking of people who use Constitution as a dump stat.
I don't know.
No. Let's talk about something else.
Steph is a barbarian at heart.
From last night, Jay. The fact that you were running a sorcerer and didn't put your main stat into charisma.
He had charisma as his dump stat. So
I loved it. I loved it.
But he had like a 17 in strength.
Yeah.
That was huge.
He was 17. So we're over there rebuilding his.
He wasn't. He thought he was casting spells. He was actually just throwing Volvos at people.
I was just saying words.
I'm throwing the wand at you.
Happening. Okay,
he thought he was using a spell called Rock Throw. He wasn't. He was actually throwing rocks.
Well, we have a thing called the Wolf Whip in our game. So,
yeah.
I mean,
if we have extra time tonight, we'll have to discuss the Wolf Whip.
The Wolf Whip is
Brandon
very
was on the receiving end of that.
The Wolf
Whip.
Yeah,
David was on the receiving
the wolf
end of that.
Was amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, last night I learned, like, multiple things. So
that's the best part. I love sitting next to Jay because he always learns something.
It's like sitting next to a 2-year-old trying to play the game. You know, just so what do I do now? What does that mean? Yes, very good.
That's the point. That's like, is having the fun is the point.
It was a good time. I don't mind. I don't care.
I was not told math would be involved with this.
Yes. I wasn't told I would need to bring a calculator.
Saw a great meme the other day. It was just on Instagram. It was somebody picking up the DMG. And it's like, there's no dragons in here at all. It's all math.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Comic Sense is the area's local leader in comic shop awesomeness. With tons of new and back-issue collectible comic books, action figures, posters, magic tricks, and kits, tabletop games, and more in stock and waiting for you. And speaking of gaming, we have a comfortable 30-seat game room for playing games like Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Dungeons & Dragons, or your favorite tabletop game. And with snacks and drinks on hand to fuel your gaming, you won't have to take a break from the action. Check us out today on Facebook, Instagram, or ComicSenseShop.com, or come and see us in person at 2007 Washington Boulevard in Belpre, Ohio. Comic Sense, we are raising the bar for comic shops everywhere.
So the next segment we're going to do here is something we broke Aaron. You all right, Aaron?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good.
The next segment here that we kind of want to discuss is something we've talked about amongst ourselves, and it's something we thought would be, it'll be entertaining, but it's also something to kind of touch on to remind everybody.
More serious note.
Yeah, truthfully, it's a little more serious. It's not specific to D&D. It's pretty much life-wide.
Comic Sense PSA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of
Bringing It Down.
What he said.
I didn't hear what you said. But
I just said bringing it down.
Oh. Anyway, bullying. I mean.
Toxic players.
Yeah, toxic players.
Gatekeeping and all that.
It's amazing to me, and we've had this discussion amongst ourselves. It's amazing to me. It's still a thing. You know, the rule should be just be nice. All the time. Why do you need to be, you know, overbearing or, oh my gosh, you don't have this particular deck of cards, so you are a subhuman person for, you know, missing that little tidbit. It's ridiculous, in my opinion. We experienced it early on when the shop first opened here.
Yeah.
And it's something that can be difficult to deal with if you have some sort of relationship with that person.
Yeah.
You know, so when that starts happening, what do you do? You know, do I talk to them? Do I immediately get them out of here? Well, what do you do from a business aspect? And hopefully you guys have some maybe, you know, stories you can relay of
sure.
things that have happened to you. But from a business aspect, for me, that can affect business. It did affect business. You remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you've got one person who, you know, maybe that toxic player who's, you know, he's the problem. Maybe he buys a few things, but he's generating enough bad vibes that you got six people that aren't coming back now.
Yeah, exactly. One time, and this does happen to relate to D&D here, this is where we had the problem. We had an individual that ran D&D for us, did a great job initially. I never run D&D. I didn't know how to do it or whatever. It worked fine for a while until you get this mixture of people that bring out the toxicity in each other.
And they play off each other, and
it just builds and builds.
And it runs yeah. people off who are maybe new, or the people who are experienced. You know, I don't know about everybody else, but I play D&D because it gets you away from maybe the stresses or or whatever's going on in life. For that 3 hours or however long you're playing for, rest of everything else doesn't matter.
It should be a time period where it doesn't matter. What character you're playing or how you're playing it.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody
it should be a comfortable time of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the root of it, it's always been a game that's just about having fun together.
Yeah. Yeah. And for, you know, someone to, quick story about it, you know, once this toxic group of people come together, you know, I tried to intervene and say, look, you know, you can't do this. You got, if you don't like the way a player's playing, take them under your wing, show them how to play the way that, you know, they should be playing. If they're just flat out playing it wrong, you know, fix it.
Right.
Don't come to me or make fun of them to each other or, you know, come to me belly aching that you don't like the way they play. Fix it. Solve the problem. There's no reason you should be demeaning someone or mocking someone swearing at someone. That was the final straw that drove the nail in the coffin of this entire little group of people. Once that happened, that's a no-brainer. You swear at a customer that's trying to play a game, a female customer that's trying to play in a game, that is it. I'm sorry. You will be removed from gameplay.
And look where we went from there to where we're at now.
Yeah,
we had maybe six people playing, and now we have literally over 50 people playing D&D.
Around that time, I was starting to try to help run things. We had two alternating games every other week, and we were struggling. Like, I was maybe getting five people, but the person who was running the toxic game was in my game. So he was there every week, and so it was still there. So my numbers started at six when they found out there was a new DM, and then immediately they were three.
The last game that individual ran had two people in it.
Yeah. And my first game
And both were his buddies.
Mm-hmm. Was it what?
Of course, it didn't help. He was also canceling every session, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Was it 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later that I started my first session? I had 15 people my first night.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, we went from that. That's just how toxic it can be. These people even made fun of their own people, like the weakest among them, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's always, nobody's on the same thing. There's always your leader. That's who you got to get rid of to solve your problems. And you have all the underlings that just, they feed off of, the main guy. And every time these guys were together, they would just, it'd be like if we were all in here and me and Brandon here sitting making fun of you guys the entire time. You know, just each other. You know, we're maybe not even saying it direct, but we're, can you believe Aaron wore a red shirt in here today?
God. I think that guy's a jerk.
You know what I mean?
I just made your first dead Star Trek. So.
Right.
Yeah. Or exactly. I'm the captain. Depending on the generation.
Listen, if you're trying to
the
compare
term
yourself,
red shirt.
You're Ensign Ricky.
To
Patrick
Stewart.
It's you, Kirk, Spock, and Ensign Ricky.
There's a term red shirt for a reason.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
The statistically, though, more yellow shirts died throughout the series.
I never watched it, so I couldn't tell you. Nerd. I
watched. I religiously
so.
Watched.
Can you believe Aaron just said that? Anyway, so it's for business. Me and Shane both law
say
enforcement.
Say it. Go ahead and say it.
We're law enforcement. We've had the discussion about training we have had in the past regarding mostly terrorist stuff. At least that's what it was for us.
Yeah.
In a terrorist situation, they're talking about you've got to remove the leader. If you remove the leader, it's probably going to collapse the rest. Well, that's kind of the approach we took on getting rid of this group. Basically, we shut down the leader, and it worked like a charm because every last one of those guys went out of here. Every problem left the shop. And it's been Xanadu since. We've grown to, I don't know what that means. Is that was
I didn't get that reference.
I like the new word that you just made.
You?
Yeah. I know it's
I got the reference,
place,
Jay. I got the reference.
You got it?
It?
I got it.
All right.
I've heard
so,
it, but I don't know much about it.
Okay.
I think our listeners can figure out what you meant by it.
Yeah.
Dear Google.
Look it up.
Yeah, they'll have time to look it up.
Yeah.
So we went from, two people playing in a campaign at the very end to Aaron's group being, what was it, 15 or 16?
14 or 15 the first day.
First night, the girl that got swore at came back. She was in that very first
group. She played almost the entire first season until, I think she went to college or something.
And that group size stayed the same. His group, it would fluctuate a little bit from week to week, 12, 15. But
yeah, I had a couple people drop off within the first.
Yeah, when you'd have a couple people drop
maybe,
off.
But then more would
come in.
Later, but I peaked at 21 people before another game started.
And that's why we've had to limit the group sizes for the new campaigns is just because we would have 20 to 25 people in every game, and we just can't do that.
And as a DM, that's just insanely difficult to plan for.
I feel like making plot-wise, that'd be hard to work around.
And
so,
not
can
only
work
that.
With plot lines. I mean, that's not a problem. It's for me, it was giving everybody an opportunity to shine if they wanted to shine.
And feel like it's their
and
game.
Given their input, because Brandon is one of my players. And he can actually tell you, I will actually go out and point to everybody, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I want everybody to have their input. It's like nobody's getting left out. So that's the biggest part of, 20 players coming around is how much time everything takes.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that it's also a fair way to do things, too, to, spread the players out over different games. So you're at least going to have one game that you get to play in.
Yeah. We have maintained a pretty good group of people throughout this entire last three seasons. Well, 2.5 seasons of D&D, because really the first season didn't start until you started doing it.
Right.
We don't have any issues with any of our players. We have good players across every single game that we play here. And that even goes farther than D&D. I'm just talking about D&D here. But our Pokemon group,
mm-hmm.
great group of people. Great group of people. Willing to help people out. They don't sit around mocking people. And, you know, you don't have this card. So, you know, psh, and they kind of roll their eyes. You know, I mean, there might be some good natured
Ribbing.
Ribbing.
Like when I call Aaron a nerd.
Thank you. So, you know, that's one thing. But
I identify as a geek.
Yeah. Actually hurtful for these guys. That's completely uncalled for.
Everybody that really is playing in a lot of these groups is empathetic enough to know that what they're saying, if they see something is hurting someone, when they say it, they say, oh, I'm sorry, you know. They back up and they stop from that ribbing. And,
yes.
And it's a really open group of people, and it's really a good close group.
And that shows in the new player clinics we've had, not only for D&D, but for Pokemon
yeah.
and everything. You'll have one person running this, and you can't stop people from coming over and asking to help.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, from a business aspect, you cannot be afraid to get rid of people that are becoming an issue and causing you grief in your games. If you're losing business because of somebody, they got to go.
Addition by subtraction.
If they're not willing to change what they're doing and, you know, be a good person, be nice, that's the rule, be nice, then you got to get rid of them, man. You can't keep, no, across the board, doesn't matter what game they're in, doesn't matter what they're doing, if you're having somebody be an ambassador, more or less, for your shop, that's why these people have been assembled right here. I just pointed to everybody.
We're the Comic Sense Avengers.
I felt important.
That's rude,
like,
by the way.
Four arms pointed at everyone at once.
It was crazy.
Having good people run your games is essential because that's going to help your business in the long run. You can't have, you know, people that are obnoxious to be around, in charge of anything, you know, that you want to be long-term beneficial. And continue to grow. Now, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I work for lots of obnoxious people, but different apples and oranges, I think. But yeah, so just something that we wanted to talk about. We've talked about it a while between us, and we just thought it was kind of an interesting topic to discuss because we've actually dealt with it here at one point, and we haven't had an issue with it since.
No.
To be, no. You know, 100% honest, we've never had another incident of people, you know, being obnoxious. We're super casual shop here. It's not like we're playing for millions of dollars
right.
or any big cash and prizes. This is all for fun. That's pretty much the entire motto of the shop.
And the card games are a little more strict, but D&D right out of the box says these are more of suggestions than actual rules.
Yeah.
And it's also
the
why
master for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also why I told my players in the beginning, it's like, you know, I don't have all the rules memorized. I've got an extremely poor memory. For me, it's more about the story than
exactly.
anything else, and you're helping me create it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to pause to do the rules longer and everything else, you're also stopping the game to go and explain, this is why it has to happen this way. It's like, no, we're going to Wile E. Coyote this thing. Let's just go and go through it.
Yep.
At a certain point, you expect you
now everybody in
my
campaign
stuff.
Is going to get an Acme rock. But...
hey, we all got brooms last night. So.
Yeah, we did get brooms. Pretty awesome.
All right, so that's been a PSA from Comic Sense. We're going to go on to the next segment. Stand by. All right, here we go.
It says, I know what I do.
And in 3, 2, 1.
You don't say one.
You don't say one.
You
ruined
it. You know this.
Gosh. Can you believe Aaron just said
one? Now we got to do it again.
We got three fingers up. We got three fingers up.
5, 4.
One.
And we're back.
I didn't say it that time.
All right, so we're going to round this episode out with some descriptions of the upcoming campaigns.
Sneak peeks.
Yes, indeed.
Spoiler alert.
Each of the DMs are just going to talk briefly about their new campaign that's coming up and what to expect from it. So,
also, how do I break your campaigns?
And also how to break campaigns.
Really
apparently.
Easily.
So we'll go ahead and start with Stephanie Simonez, no relation.
Hey there. So I have decided to do the Tyranny of Dragons story. So, of course, I'm starting out with Horde of the Dragon Queen. And I was pretty excited because this is actually the first adventure that was created for 5e.
So, a little description here. The Cult of the Dragon, with help from the Red Wizards of Thay, have a secret goal to bring Tiamat from her prison in the Nine Hells to Faerun's, the Sword Coast. So, you know, who wouldn't want to fight Tiamat?
Right. Oh, wait. Hands are up! Okay!
So, apparently, a few of our DMs do not want to fight Tiamat. So, anyway, I'm pretty excited and... I'm excited to be DM here.
You know what? We went a long way from, no, I'm definitely not interested in doing that, to, I don't know, Jay, you know, and then one day, hey, what do you think about...
Peer pressure.
I was like, hey, listen, so what about...
What if I did run one? So, all right, so we'll move on.
And the first sign up to max out was...
Yeah. Yes, that was me.
It was like six hours.
That was me.
Yeah, six hours.
Yeah, it maxed out quick. All right, so we'll move on to Shane Simonez, no relation.
June 21st is when mine starts. We'll be running Waterdeep Dragon Heist, which is one of the latest campaigns to drop for 5e, and that leads directly into Dungeon of the Mad Mage. Dragon Heist is going to take everybody from 1 to 5, Dungeon of the Mad Mage all the way from 5 to 20. Little information, welcome to Waterdeep. The Crown of the North, where a wondrous tale of Urban's venture is about to unfold. Our story begins with the gathering of adventurers at the Yawning Portal Inn and Tavern. Volothimp Gedarm, can't believe I said that right, the famous explorer and raconteur, has a quest for them, one that entangles the characters in a bitter conflict between two nefarious organizations. Guys, it's a heist movie. It's a 5e heist movie. It doesn't get any better than that.
I'm so ready for that.
Fantastic.
The bad guys want the gold. You want the gold. Who's going to get it first?
It's gonna
That's
be
pretty
us
much what
time.
It is.
I think the bad guys want the gold, the good guys want the gold, and you want the gold.
And there's like... maybe four crime lords that you guys can face off against.
Yeah. Cool.
And four Dragon of us talk. Sitting here are actually playing in his campaign.
Yeah.
Which
yep.
is
oh,
really
yeah.
cool.
That's right.
There's,
DM
it's, yes. yeah, three, four DMs. And then Jay and a new guy.
It was fun.
I'll learn a lot from that one.
Me, you stuff.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Jay.
And there's very few campaigns that get to go all the way to level 20. They just
is,
they,
it, is it the first?
Right.
The first published, it goes to 20?
Does
no.
Yours,
does Tiamat go to 20 as well?
Yeah. Rise of Tiamat.
Right around
in there.
All right. Michael Ewing, the DM Whisperer.
No. Mine's not a new one.
Where's your book?
As he holds up a notebook, which is noticeably blank. But anyway, mine is not going to be a new one. It's going to be the continuation. Basically, the second story arc is going to start June, whatever my date is. I have no head for numbers. And I DM.
27th. Is it a week after mine?
Yeah, it's going to be, right after
27th, yes.
27th.
Okay, 27th. So I have three more sessions until before break, and that's going to be a dungeon for my players. Brandon is one of my players, and I'm doing something special for them before the break. I wanted to try and customize magic items for everybody, but as we've already said, I have like 20 players. I don't have enough time to do that, so I'm going to let everybody create their own magic item if they want. I have to approve it first, and then after that, we're going to continue the second or begin the second story arc after the first one ends. And this is basically going to have us go on and face. Well, actually, I don't want to go into too many details because I have a player here. Okay, so he's plugging his ears. He's going up listening to the podcast anyway.
Potentially listening.
Yeah, and he's going up listening to the podcast later anyway. So this first story arc is all about greed. The second one is going to be about rage. And these are all lesser deities that the characters are going to end up facing themselves. And just seeing everything that I've thrown in there to help build up a foundation come up in this story arc and the future ones later on.
He really plugged his ears the entire time.
Yeah,
yep. I'm impressed.
He just asked me if it was safe. I said no, so I'm going to wonder how long.
But I'm done now, so yeah, he's safe.
Very good. All right, so Brandon's campaign has already began, but
yes.
It just began. It's one deep right now. His started a little earlier. I don't know how we got to that. But anyway, it's already started, so you want to go ahead and talk about yours?
Yeah, sure. Well, the campaign all begins on the open seas. A ferry from one capital of a certain region to another capital of a region. Capital is a far-fetched. It's mostly just a coastal town. But the overarching whole thing is that you were trying to not only get noticed by gods, but get strong enough by any means necessary to be a god yourself, eventually one day. Because I feel that, like, as soon as you get past level, let's say, honestly, level 10, you're approaching territory that is, like, you're wielding magics that you've never known before and never seen before, and I'd like to design a lot of homebrew stuff, and it's very magic-heavy, very, very magic-heavy, to where most of this quests and stuff, or storylines, have to do with magic items, specifically made magic items that aren't in 5th edition, because, like, some stuff just hasn't come up generically yet, or it's just... Designing magic items, I feel like that's always a very good thing for a player or a DM to do, and I think that's fun. And it gives me a chance to do what you said, which was make them special to sometimes your characters.
Yeah, and homebrew rules.
Exactly. Homebrew definitely. But that's not to say if you don't homebrew.
You've been homebrewing for 3 years.
Yeah, if you homebrew, if you don't homebrew, either way, you're going to have fun playing D&D. And that's pretty much all the campaign's about.
Plus, he does the voices.
I try to do the voices.
Can you do the leprechaun for us?
I don't really think that he's all right. It's a really good idea.
That's the greatest.
Blarney McStone O'Houlihan.
Love it.
When I read that name, I was like, how do I say this?
Aaron.
Yes.
Go.
I'm going to be running, starting on June 20th, a day before Shane's, Curse of Strahd. It's been around for a few years now.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get a smile.
Pause for photograph.
Right? Right.
Put you on the spotlight.
The party will find themselves...
Fill this dead air. Come on, we gotta go. Yeah,
come on, man.
Thanks, broke me again. No,
we're not going to edit that out either.
Yeah, no, I hope you don't.
You and all your awkward glory.
Yeah.
Makes it even better. Yeah. So the party's going to find themselves taken through first through a side adventure in the back of the book called The Death House, where the party's going to face choices that are life and death, and that's going to be kind of an introduction, which is going to be at level 1. And then the actual adventure, once they finish that, they're going to jump straight to 3 and start off in the land of Barovia and all things vampire.
I love it. It's the best. So there's a lot to look forward to here at Comic Sans. Like I said, a lot of the groups are already full. 4 of the 5 are full, actually.
Spectators, welcome.
Michael's is pretty much open-ended, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Spectators, very welcome.
Yeah.
What's the count up to? Just... Is it over 10 yet?
No, we're approaching it, but we're not.
If you literally just want to come and like just watch and see the characters develop in all these campaigns, I think that'd be amazing.
I think it would be great, yes, because we could even set up like a little gallery, you know, for people to sit and watch. I think that would be, you know, very entertaining. And we do have people come and watch, but
and
I would like to see more.
And we do sell popcorn.
Yeah.
We can do autograph sessions afterwards.
We're also here almost an hour early every session.
Yeah.
Usually half hour to an hour. At least if you wanted to come in, most of the games start at 6:30 in the evening, at least the Thursday and Friday games. So if you want to come in early.
Mine starts at 7, though, because I tend to work till 6:30.
Yes.
Yeah. Michael's is, yeah.
If you want to come in early and ask questions or just hang out,
yeah,
you can do that, too.
Yeah.
Very new player friendly.
Yeah, some of us have, like, open slots just in case if somebody wants to actually play.
There's waiting lists for all the groups.
Yeah.
And actually... I think yours has 2 on the waiting list. I can't remember.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Not only did I fill first, but I got 2 on the waiting list.
Yeah,
I think I've got 1 on my wait list.
I think so. So, you know, there's potential because sometimes, you know, schedules get screwy, you know, and people have to drop out. That's how Brandon initially got in, actually.
That is very true.
Because we were set for Shane's game, right? His first game. Mm-hmm. And you came that night.
I did.
It was already full. I think you hung around a little while.
I hung around a little bit, and... But like I was thinking to myself, I was like, I mean, this is fun, but I really want to be playing right now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and we had 2 that had the drop, and 1 toxic player, which is probably the last toxic player we've had at the shop, get the old punt.
Yeah.
And here he is.
I immediately got a hold of you as soon as we had a slot come open, and he came in, and gosh, look how far it's came now.
Yeah, we're at level 9.
And now we got a new DM out of it.
Yeah. See. Very new player friendly. We're happy. I mean, I'll help you to the extent that I can help you, which is not very far.
Send your requests to try to get Jay to DM a game.
That is a thing that we've been trying to do.
Yes.
See, no, just listening to you, during this, like last night, I forget what it was, there was something that came up and you had the answer. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about right now. That was a thing.
You know, it's so automatic, I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was.
Honestly, yeah, a lot of DMing is just making it up as you go.
It was, yeah. Improvise. But it was rule-wise. It was something actually in the manual.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, what was it? I can't remember. But anyway, I remember
3 hours
thinking,
of content, I can't remember either.
The thing about it, though, is for every one situation like that, there's probably another three that we've spent the time either out of game or during a game figuring out what that odd ruling is.
Oh, right.
No, this is why you need the encyclopedia players.
Right.
Because they can, and Sam
yes.
also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, both Sams.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can do it for you. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to let the game keep flowing. And then you guys can look that rule up and we can make a rule.
And the best thing that I've ever found out to do is to just say, okay, right now to keep the game going, here's the ruling. We'll figure it out later. This isn't a life or death situation, and if it needs to be, we'll change something later. But for now,
this is what
here's the rule.
Well, yeah. If it works out in the player's favor, hey, congratulations, you get that one. And if it was something that you know was detrimental to them, well, here, have that back. And if it's really broken, we'll just stop for a second and look it up.
Yeah.
What, fake it till you make it.
what I do a lot is like with my best friend is one of my players at my home campaign, so. Every time that we have a disagreement, which sometimes he's a lot like me, very rules lawyer sometimes, and so anytime we have a disagreement, in order for the story to go on, we'll look at each other and say, we'll talk about this on the drive home. And because I always bring him to my house, because that's usually where I have it, and I always take him back. And it's always on that drive over, and we will either he'll have the book in his hand, we'll be looking through the rules, just because like we don't want to stop the game. We just want to know. It's not even about like it's not important who's right. It's just that we want to get what's supposed to happen. Right. Supposed to happen, but in those situations, it's like let's just forget it. We'll look it up later. But this is how it's going to happen for
the
now.
Rules are guideline. The goal is fun.
Exactly. Sometimes you get lucky. Like the night before the one shot, I had just happened to look up fall damage and what the max fall damage was.
Yep.
And then it came and it was like everybody's looking at that. It's 20d6. I got that right here. I knew that all along.
Already got it. So anyway, lots to look forward to here at Comic Sense. Please join us. If it's as a spectator, that is awesome. If it's as a player, that's even better. But definitely check us out. We have all the books, the dice, everything you need to get going D&D. Aaron just pointed to me, so I'm going to go to him now.
Do you want to mention the guest one-shots?
Yes.
The guest one-shots!
And somebody here, I think, is doing one of the guest one-shots. Is that correct?
Somebody. Is it, who is it?
Is our great sound guy?
Sound man. That's right. Brandon's going to be running one of the guest one-shots.
Get your face in a mic.
Is it a Rolled and Told that you're doing, or?
No.
Okay.
That would be okay, though.
It's a, that would be absolutely
rolled
awesome.
And told I saw you were fanning out some of the Rolled and Told the other night.
I was looking for the only one I don't have. Thanks, Jay.
He's ordered it.
It was a fist bump, by the way, with what you just did there.
Yeah.
So, my campaign is actually going to be a homebrew this will be the fifth time I've ran it.
Nice.
Excellent. So, yeah, real quick before we go, because we're 55 minutes.
Gasp.
Yeah.
Sometimes we like to talk.
I know, we do go on, don't we?
You're a chatty bunch.
So, the guest DM one-shots, they're going to kind of be kicked off with the one-shot on May the 4th. So, that's a big deal. These will be a little scaled down from that, but the D&D one-shot that happens on May the 4th will kind of kick it off. The following Saturday, we start guest DM one-shots. Excuse me. They're just like a 2 to 5 or a 2 to 6 time frame where these guest DMs, just people that happen to be connected with the shop who want to do DMing, they're going to come in, run a campaign just for that day. You come in for 3 hours or whatever it is, and you play through that campaign, and hey, you had an extra day of D&D here at Comic Sense on a Saturday. So, and we're going to do that all through May, and if it goes well, which I really don't anticipate it not going well, we'll probably do that again. We'll pick another month and do that again because I really like the idea of it. It gives people extra chances to play D&D. And, I mean, let's face it, that's probably the biggest game here is D&D. Some people can't get enough of it. I wish I could play more. It's just...
But yeah, not just you. I mean, like, I'm the eternal DM. I love getting to play.
Right.
Well, how many new people came into your game, Aaron, this season? And came in and just started buying campaign books and new player kits and DM manuals.
And
everything. And now they're set up and they're running home games. And they're here. And this is another reason we had to set up a limit, a cap to the game sizes because everyone was coming to every game.
Yeah.
We were all just so excited about everything.
It's a problem, but it's a good problem.
It's the best problem to have.
And we've never, since the Toxic group left, we have never had to cancel a game of D&D because of lack. I think illness is the only reason we've had to cancel a game.
What was that, once?
The only time we had
once for me
one.
And I think once for Aaron and I and actually didn't have to cancel.
For
I sat in for
about the number of DMs we have too now is I missed one session. I had pneumonia or something. I called Shane and I'm like, hey, I can't make the game. Can you run for me?
And we ran a roll and told him put
it
right
awesome.
Into the campaign.
He just picked up and I kept it as canon because I could trust him to not mess up everything in my world because I've been running homebrew.
I also play in that world.
So he plays in the world and his character coincidentally had died the session before, so. He didn't have a character in the game, so he was able to pick up a run for me.
All right, so check us out here at Comic Sense. Again, we're located 2007 Washington Boulevard in Belpre, Ohio. We're also on the Facebook at Comic Sense Shop. We post a ton of stuff there, lots of photos, behind-the-scenes type stuff. We also have our own webpage, comicsenseshop.com. Lots of material on all those outlets. Be sure and check them out, but come and see us in person. We would love it. So for everyone here at the table, thanks for listening to Comic Sense Radio.
Magic Shop and Magic Emporium. Are you ready to have the best winged boots that you've ever had on your little toesies?